Item 1353, presentation on the Get Portland Moving pilot, ramping up coordination of activities in the right of way.
And I understand Emily Trist is coming up. Very good. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Fritz, and Commissioner Fitch. My name is Emily Trich. I'm the Portland Bureau of Transportation's asset manager.
I'm John Wilson. I'm a traffic engineer with PBOT.
Thank you.
Jana Lafreniere, Get Portland Moving Right-Away Coordinator with PBOT.
Thank you. And Emily, I apologize. I mispronounced your name.
It
was misspelled, and sorry about that.
I go by anything. By
Very
Trich.
Good.
Trich.
Thank you.
Well, I'm delighted to share with you the report from the Get Portland Moving pilot program through 2017. Around this time last year, Council approved a resolution to enhance coordination and communication efforts in the right-of-way. Responding to an historic year of construction in the central city, the Get Portland Moving pilot was formed to identify impacts and solutions to maintain mobility in all modes. This was done through regular meetings and by employing existing technology to support the timely delivery of capital projects, address maintenance needs, reduce congestion, and preserve safety for all. Today we'll speak to the successes of the Get Portland Moving pilot and express our interest in continuing this enhanced coordination work citywide. We'll also introduce the solutions that will help us to be successful. You'll hear that the whole city, its agencies, utilities, and residents stand to benefit from advancing investment in right-of-way management. Between the city's aging infrastructure, rapid growth, and the celebrations and events that make Portland a unique and livable city, more than 70 activities in the right-of-way were anticipated in 2017. Everything from sewer and street maintenance, improvements to Pioneer Square, fixing our streets activities, to light rail and bridge improvements, travel across all modes were impacted.
And I'm assuming you're just showing a section of the city, but there are projects everywhere else as well.
Absolutely. Indeed. In March of 2017, leaders from the City of Portland, ODOT, Multnomah County, TriMet, and Portland Streetcar came together to kick off Get Portland Moving as an ambitious effort to bring a new level of coordination to construction and maintenance work on the streets of the Central Business District. Through the Get Portland Moving pilot, more than 30 conflicts and opportunities were identified. By responding to these needs, we're able to deliver projects more efficiently, and some of the major work performed this year in coordination with agency partners include the Pioneer Courthouse Square maintenance, MAX improvements, including signal and rail upgrades, as well as drainage and asphalt repair, repair to 3,200 feet of 140-year-old public sewer pipes, and maintenance work on or underneath 5 of the 12 county bridges crossing the Willamette. This includes the Broadway Bridge, Burnside Bridge, and also the Morrison Bridge. It includes also coordination around the Multnomah County Courthouse development and PBOT's capital paving project at First and Main on the west end of the Hawthorne Bridge. In addition to these, there were about 30 lane miles of preventative maintenance paving and nearly 6,000 Acorn streetlights converted to LED citywide. Some of the successes in coordination include addressing our capital and maintenance needs, basically the ability to get the work done. We also saw cost avoidance by piggybacking on another agency's traffic controls, public outreach, sharing a trench, or by performing pavement restoration once instead of multiple times along a corridor. We're able to see substantial costs not incurred by public agencies. We estimate approximately $3 million of cost avoidance through trench restoration in 2017, and another $2 million in shared closures, traffic controls, and outreach. These are real savings to Portlanders resulting from enhanced coordination, leveraging opportunities as they arise, and avoiding conflicts that would previously require last-minute schedule changes or shifting around of crews. In addition to these, we're able to minimize mobility impacts for all users by maintaining multimodal access, combine efforts in public outreach, and ensure consistency in traffic controls and in temporary street use permits.
Well, you may remember last summer was quite busy. with construction downtown, and in managing all those projects, we identified a couple folks that weren't following the rules, weren't on our map, so we weren't able to coordinate their work and maintain mobility. One of these in particular got a lot of attention. It was a lane closure across the Burnside Bridge, and it resulted in issuing some fines. Get Portland, some of the first fines I think that we've really issued for such, violations of the right-of-way use. And
can I ask you a question? Because this slide is great. Let's take the violation that occurred on Southwest 12th Avenue.
Yeah.
I know that corner because on the west side to the south is where I get what's left of my haircut. And, Turner Construction is not just some new player in the scene. I mean, they're a highly regarded company, does a lot of work.
That's right.
So, I think it's great that they were fined for violating their permit. But what did we learn about the genesis of something like this happening? What went wrong that gave them the impression that they could take out two lanes when they were only given a permit for one?
That's a great question. Thank you much, Commissioner Fish, for that. It's interesting. We met with – I issued the fine on that in particular. My group manager informed me about this action, said, I saw this closure, and it seemed like it was dangerous. So we looked at it. We recognized that it was not permitted work. We issued a fine to Turner. Their executive team came in and met with us and said, what went wrong? We asked kind of the same thing. Well, you're aware that you have to have permits for lane closures and that type of thing. And it turned out that there was a decision was made amongst the crew that was working on that particular day. They had to get some work done, and they didn't have, the appropriate permits in place, but the damages to their schedule would be so much that they're willing to take the risk, see if they didn't get caught. Well, they got caught. And
did they know that they were wrong?
Yeah, they absolutely did know that they were not allowed. In that particular case, they were allowed to take there's three lanes going north there. They were allowed to use the right lane, and they decided they needed the right lane and the middle lane, which caused a bunch of problems, and it looked really unsafe, which is my group manager recognized it as, this doesn't look quite right. Now, their executive team came in. They were very apologetic. They said, this is not how we want to be doing business, so what do we need to do differently? And, we outlined that, if you had gotten a permit or if you had been maybe in closer contact with us, we could have helped respond to this, urgent need. And I think that just by establishing those relationships with their team as well as with our team of inspectors and engineers, we can help be more reactive to allow them to complete their work safely, which is kind of the central concept of Get Portland Moving, I would say. Having everyone on a map so that we're all around a table, whether it's virtually or in real life, so that when something comes up, we know who to contact to figure out how we can get all of our work done at the same, and doing it safely.
Do we now, sometimes we end up going after the party that's the most accessible. But, construction companies are also under a lot of pressure from developers to stay on schedule and the like. Did we determine in this instance that there was any culpability by the developer?
In this particular instance, absolutely not. There was no, the developer did not make the decision. It was truly the construction manager, the superintendent of the site, said, I have a crane delivery coming in. I underestimated how much street I'd need in order to take this delivery. And so, but I don't have a permit. What am I going to do? I can delay the crane. It sets back my project schedule 2 weeks. I don't really know if I would attribute that to the developer, and that because it's reasonable to expect that they set their project schedule and the contractors need to give thought into what actions they need to complete in order to meet that schedule. So in my opinion, this was really Turner Construction's fault, that their site superintendent, they should have said, I guess they should have done a better job of anticipating what closures they needed, but in the future, now that they have our, we have a closer relationship, we'll be able to help them react quicker
You know, thank you.
Yeah. And so while Get Portland Moving isn't directly part of our enforcement and fining actions, we support that by helping show all the different projects that are on the map and who to get a hold of in order to resolve issues so that we don't end up, we don't really want to fine contractors or slow down their work. We want everyone to be able to complete all of the tasks they're asked to do. Thanks.
So moving forward with Get Portland Moving, we see 2017, rather than being an outlier, could be the new normal for Portland. We expect the amount of right-of-way use to continue to grow, particularly as Portland continues to grow, particularly as our assets continue to degrade or deteriorate. And also our capital programs are growing as well. BES and PBOT both anticipate growth in their capital work in the coming years. So in order to address these needs going forward, we'd like to expand this effort citywide in 2018. We'd also like to recommit the city bureaus and our partner agencies to continue this work in coordination and communication together. This will help us accomplish our goals, our shared goals of maintaining aging infrastructure, responding to rapid growth, and minimizing travel disruptions.
I mean, how are you going to do that?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Sorry, you were about to tell me. Do continue with the rest of your spiel if you were.
Oh, okay. I promise I'll answer.
Okay.
So what we need to do to find success? Yes.
You know, I can give you one very particular, very specific example of how we were going to do that. I know that earlier this week you heard an LID. You remember that?
Yeah.
And I think one of the questions that came up was, when Andrew, I believe when he did his site visit, he recognized some paint on the ground. That was his only indication that there was another project happening in the area.
Mm-hmm.
With Get Portland Moving, you know, we were focused only on the core this last summer. In the future, we hope to expand citywide. Andrew would be able to use that map to see what other capital projects are happening and then bring in those potential LIDs or those LIDs he has on the back burner in order to help move those other projects forward. So, but without sort of a central clearinghouse, a map really that just shows all the different projects, he's got to discover it by just finding paint out on the ground.
So that's what you're about to go into in terms of how are you going to do that coordination?
Absolutely.
Continue.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So in order to find success, we're looking at technology tools to improve when and how we coordinate and also identify the champions within each agency to help us to gather and report the data. Where that's concerned, we've already received letters of support for renewing and broadening the Get Portland Moving effort from Water Bureau, BES, TriMet, and Multnomah County. And then where technology is concerned, PBOT is currently in the process of evaluating off-the-shelf right-of-way management solutions that, together with the business processes and coordination strategies identified in the pilot, will help the city to better maintain right-of-way use. So as an example, this indicates how our technology is evolving. On the far left side, this is our current CIP map. This is City Bureau CIP activities. For the Get Portland Moving pilot, that's the middle graphic here, we used a web map, and it shows capital and maintenance activities and goes beyond just city. It includes other public agencies as well. Moving forward, we'd like to move into a system that allows dynamic data entry, participation by private utilities as well as public agencies, and automatic notification of conflicts and opportunities in the right-of-way. This new technology would reduce staff time in meetings. For this pilot year, we've had more than 50 meetings to talk about the different activities upcoming. It would help all users understand what's going on in the right-of-way and help help us all to quickly and easily resolve complaints. If your office or mine gets a phone call from a concerned citizen about a project, we're not going on a wild goose chase trying to find out whose project it is and how long it will last. It would all be in one place. So I can tell you that other cities around the country have already implemented such solutions. City of Chicago, for example, is already enjoying $17 million of cost avoided each year from better managing their right-of-way, and that's through better preserving their assets. And then our friends in Seattle just implemented their system in August, and in 2 months have already seen more than $500,000 in savings. And so this shows that managing work together both decreases disruption on our roads and also saves taxpayer dollars.
Looking ahead in 2018 and 2019, we noticed that BES and PBOT are, among other agencies, are ramping up capital improvement work and paving work, and Get Portland Moving hopes to support that work through information sharing and coordination of meetings. We hope that all the bureaus commit to keeping their databases up to date to share that information and make it accessible to everyone within the city and outside of the city with our agency partners. Some current 2018 highlights that we've started collaborating on is the Burnside Bridge maintenance, which will be two lanes will be closed in each direction, and we collaborated with Multnomah County, PBOT collaborated with Multnomah County and TriMet to streamline TriMet buses through the construction zone. ODOT has approached PBOT on a collaboration for their I-5, I-84 interchange ramp maintenance. There'll be closures of the interchange ramps for 2 weeks, full closures, 24/7 this summer. So PBOT is working to mitigate traffic impacts on local streets. The Providence Park expansion and the press blocks, we brought together a group, TriMet, the city bureaus, and Portland Public Schools. And in that meeting, TriMet and PBOT avoided a potential conflict. BES and Water got early notification of Portland Public Schools' rebuild over existing assets. There's another project, a 5-week closure of OHSU tram, in which it's been asked for a street closure moratorium during the detour route. And also with the Division Transit project coming up in the construction in 2018 and putting together meetings about the other potential work that is going on in Division and collaborating on those efforts.
Commissioner Fish, did you have
a
question?
She's not done yet.
Oh, I just wanted to acknowledge all of the agencies and the partners that were involved, committing their time and efforts and coordinating work around the projects, including leaders, staff, public information officers, project and construction managers, that all met all throughout the year in order to coordinate work, and also TriMet for bringing us together around their West Side MAX closure. I think that the citizens of Portland really enjoyed seeing the collaboration on their streets. Thank you very much.
So on behalf of the city's utilities, and I see you have some letters that are attached, I mean, we appreciate being full partners in this, and we're obviously sold on the benefits. There is an irony here, though, because the idea is to coordinate, limit the adverse impacts, and save some money. But the thing that we have the least control over is the bridge closures. And we had a situation in this past year where it seemed like almost every bridge was impaired, and it was virtually impossible to get across. Now, the challenge we have in our bridges is they are owned by multiple different agencies, combined with the fact that the sole authority to raise bridges resides with the Coast Guard, and they have unfettered discretion, and that can have significant impacts. Do you have some thoughts as to how we can better sequence the work on the bridges in concert with what you're doing, so we just don't create a gauntlet for people trying to cross in and out of the city?
Yeah, I can take that.
Please.
That's a great example, and I think one of the things that we didn't hear about, and I want to say thank goodness we didn't hear about it, was there were some proposals for the Multnomah County Courthouse to accept the delivery of a crane during one particular, you know, set of dates that two of the other bridges were at full closure, right? And because we were all around a table, and we got a request from, I believe it was Hoffman, the contractor for the Multnomah County Courthouse, we identified that and then met with the county's leadership team to say, what can we adjust one of these schedules or another to help avoid that? Now, I think that was just like one success story that we didn't hear about. It could have been a disaster that we would have probably made the news. Regarding, I guess, your real question, we don't currently have a mobility policy that says you must keep so many bridges open, but I think it's all in the back of our heads that there's only so many accesses out of the core. The west side, we've got Cornell, we've got Highway 26, we've got Barnes, Burnside, Germantown, and I think we want to move forward with the mobility policy. We approached our city traffic engineer, Lewis Wardrip, about that. And we're investigating smart ways that other cities have created that policy. It might be as simple as saying, you know, we can only accept so many lanes to be closed at any one time.
And I would encourage you to look at that, you know, because as you know, when there's a lane taken out of Burnside, when a couple other bridges are closed, and this is all important work that has to be done. Let's talk about sequencing.
Right.
What you end up is, I live in Goose Hollow, so Burnside's backed up beyond 23rd.
Right.
Well, that's not good. No. And what the kinds of behavior that you see is not very healthy.
Like cut through your neighborhood.
There are challenges in Old Town Chinatown that get compounded where you just can't. I've been in gridlock situations because of the bridges. And, Mayor, I would urge us, because this is truly a cross-jurisdictional thing because we don't have the final say, but if we're doing all this great work to coordinate the timing of our work and who's doing it at the same time, I think we ought to be thinking about the sequencing of the work on our bridges.
I totally agree.
Because there are times when literally you can't get across the river in this past year because of several bridges being worked on simultaneously. Maybe it was essential, but you know what? For example, at BES, we rate the work based on you know the greatest risk of failure.
Right.
But as I looked at your map, it does seem to me that we still make adjustments based on capitalizing on the fact that we can do a project with PBOT.
That's right.
Even if it isn't the most at-risk piece of infrastructure.
Right.
And this one seems to me purely a question of coordination with other jurisdictions.
Right, yeah.
And our friends at the county have recommitted to expanding the Get Portland Moving involvement, and they've been a very present force at all of our meetings, bringing sometimes more than half the meeting size is made up of county membership. Also, their commissioner has endorsed this effort in coordination, and I think they've been willing to work with us, for example, on some of the work on Burnside that we recommended shifting the schedule or modifying closures in order to accommodate other uses of the right-of-way.
Yeah, thank you.
I agree. They've been really great partners through this, and I'm sure if we wanted to work together towards creating a mobility policy regarding lane closures, I'm certain they'd be happy to come to the table and discuss that.
Well, thank you for the excellent report. I noted in it that it said that we saved $5 million through coordination of closures and alignments of projects. So make sure people know that. You know, we're talking right. About Seattle's saved $7 million or whatever it was, but we did really well. So it saved the taxpayers' money and the ratepayers' money. I appreciate your explanation about how are we going to coordinate this moving forward. I was actually happy when Andrew Abbey said that he was the one that noticed the markings on it, because we sometimes, I think, rely too much on technology, and there's no substitute for having people with brains in the room who can scope out a lot of things much quicker and more thoroughly than relying on a computer program. So I do hope that you will keep that in mind and continue figuring out who needs to be at those meetings. I do commend Commissioner Fish and the work that you've done on that LIG project by Bridges School, where we've been able to benefit the community as well as the taxpayers at large and the ratepayers. With that in mind, how are we going to go about getting input from Portlanders about how we've done? I mean, this so far has been very much an internal discussion of, yes, and in your impact statement, you say that the impact is that we're trying to make less impact, you know, by coordinating.
Sure.
How, moving forward, could we build into it, for instance, in an LID project, as a pilot project, could we go back to the community that was affected? How did we do? You know, what traffic control measures could have been better? Was the timing of the projects at the best possible time compared with the school closures and such like that?
That's wonderful feedback. Yes, and during this whole pilot program, we had spoke with our modal committees quite a bit, including the pedestrian and bicycle groups, and as well as the freight committee. We also put together an external public-facing website that shared information on closures. It's on the PowerPoint just now, but and as well as a dedicated email address so that any citizen or business owner could contact us and get a response straight away, and several did. In fact, there was some work on East Burnside where some business owners didn't understand what was going on, emailed Move PDX, and they received a response about everything that was going on. I share your interest with getting additional feedback from residents about what works and what they'd like to see. And so I'd like to continue to do stakeholder outreach and community discussions. We have been in touch also with the Portland Business Alliance and Venture Portland and some of the other key stakeholders that had interest in the central city. We hope to broaden that as well, and as we expand citywide, to reach out to neighborhood and community groups.
Well, one of the many improvements Commissioner Fisher's made since he's been in charge of utilities has been the community outreach, and I know that we're all continuing to look at how do we find more ways to get information to and from people who don't know what is the email address or didn't even know this project was coming. Can we use PTAs? Can we use community organizations other than neighborhood associations and business associations? So I do think that that's a piece that can make this project even better, because it's good that we're doing things more efficiently and cost-effectively. It's even better if people know that we are, and if we're taking input from them as to how, if they've got suggestions for what could make it better. I would have to say, Mayor, that once we get the 311 system up and running, that will certainly be a tool that should make coordination a whole lot easier. And still, I believe that there'll continue to need to be thoughtful people who are figuring out who to talk to, who has not yet known, to come in and ask the questions. Thank you very much for your work, and thank you for the report. That's really helpful.
Thank you.
A couple of questions. First of all, just an observation. I think that the main point that makes the most difference is the coordination between bureaus and then different government agencies, and making sure that the left hand knows what the right hand is doing and coordinating. So thank you for that. That's super common sense and is a necessary first step. I did have a question about the technology.
Sure.
As I look through this, I see Google, I see Waze. You mentioned that Seattle has an app that does something similar. Is the Seattle app, is that also Waze-based, or is that a different technology platform?
It's a different technology platform. It actually sits on top of a Google map, and it's currently it's for internal use. The different utilities are able to sign into the system and have different access controls so that, you know, your Verizon can't see what your Comcast is doing necessarily, but that the city can better manage and organize what's in the right-of-way.
Is there any economy of scale to working with other jurisdictions on a single technology application or using an existing platform? In other words, does Portland need to invent its own, and Seattle its own, and Denver its own, or is there some collaborative process that could be had here?
Absolutely, yeah. We're in close conversations with our friends in Seattle, Chicago, and Boston as to their technology tools that they've been using. Chicago's been using theirs for more than 7 years. Seattle and Portland have been in discussions about how we get together all of our interests and actually tell the company what it is we want instead of, you know, what's available. So we're looking at getting more product through better collaboration with between jurisdictions as well. We're very keen on sharing best practices and learning from other cities that have been doing this.
Great. And I appreciate that. This is a subject I didn't know that much about prior to the presentation, and I appreciate it. I appreciate the collaboration between TBOT and BES and TriMet. And others. I think this is really great work, and I'm appreciative.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity.
Very good. Any further comments or questions on this? This is a report, so I'll accept a
so moved
motion. Commissioner Fish moves.
Second.
Commissioner Fritz gets to second. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
I think something that's really important when you're doing something like that is reporting in on a regular basis. So I hope you'll give us another presentation this time next year.
All right.
To tell us how much even better you've done. Aye.
Fish.
Well, colleagues, my favorite cautionary tale on this was when I was a young person living in New York City. Yes, once upon a time, I was a young person living in New York City, and I lived in an apartment that was right over overlooked 14th Street, which is a heavily traveled east-west street that gets a lot of truck traffic. And the equivalent of Peabot in New York decided that the road, which was in terrible condition, needed to be upgraded and replaced, reconstructed, and then paved. So it was one of the longest and noisiest and most inconvenient capital construction projects I've ever lived through. And just as they finished the project and repaved 14th Street, and we all, you know, were like thanking God that this was over, the agency that runs the subways in New York that has nothing to do with transportation came into each of the intersections and dug them up because they wanted to do an infrastructure project with the subway that was below 14th Street. And it was the classic example of the left hand and the right hand not coordinated. And what I love about this is, to the extent we're able to, we're trying to coordinate the left hand, the right hand, and particularly the cities lead the three primary infrastructure bureaus, although I think of, actually, under Commissioner Fritz, Parks has become really the fourth big infrastructure bureau. So our four major infrastructure bureaus talking to each other and coordinating. And by the way, the chart you showed that had the green lines around the BES work, colleagues, that, of course, was work that you have given the green light to. That's all the Tabor to the River work. So as we're doing Tabor to the River using Greater Green, here along comes transportation saying, how can we also do our piece with a minimal disruption to the residential and business districts along the way? So well done, and I'm pleased to accept the report. Aye.
Wheeler.
Great work. I vote aye. The report's accepted. We're adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you.